Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Boozy Bracketology, where we believe in three things: strong drinks, strong opinions, and crowning champions. And apparently flashing a lot of middle fingers, because that's what's happening with this panel that I have facing me right now. I am your host, Mike. We're going to have a great time tonight, I can already tell, as we continue to whittle down to determine the best Billy Joel song of all time. This episode is going to be the Sweet 16. We've already had some very difficult decisions, and they're not going to get any easier. But fortunately, I'm just the host. I don't have to make them. Let's meet the people who do. We are going to start off in Garner, North Carolina. Kelly, how are you doing, and what are you drinking?
I am excellent, thanks. Changing it up a little bit tonight, I am drinking bourbon and ginger ale, and I did not crack the can yet.
Ooh.
So I can actually share my little can crack sound.
That was an excellent can crack.
We're going with some Woodford and Michigan's own Verner's.
Verner's, okay.
Yes.
Unfamiliar with that one.
World's best ginger ale.
Well, cheers to that. Next up, we're going to head a little bit north to Muscatine, Iowa. Brian Nash, how are you doing? And what are you drinking?
I'm doing good. Let's see. All of you warm weather people there. we had to deal with snow coming down yesterday again.
It's 70 so, here.
Speaking of middle fingers, but otherwise life's good. My kid just turned 18 yesterday, so we're still dealing with that. Oof. Life change.
Yep.
But tonight I'm not doing anything too particularly fancy. I'm going with some classic George Killian's Irish Red, because I do love a good Killian's.
Absolutely. And very good pop there, sir. Killian's, mad respect. That was, I consider that one of my gateway beers, and you're actually making my mouth water, because it's been a long time since I've had one, and that's always a really good go-to beer.
Yeah.
All right. And closing out the panel for tonight, out in Las Vegas, Nevada, we have John Spees. John, how are you doing tonight, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm ready to piss some people off with my decisions, which I know is going to happen. And tonight I am drinking some Viking's Blood Mead, because that's what I had in the fridge, because I forgot to get anything else. So a little honey wine with my Billy Joel.
I love it. We've had a couple different, we've got a can crack, we've had a twist off top, we've had the sort of cork pop thing. I am going to have, I have a bottle here. It's not a twist off, though. We are at the very beginning of December, far, far before this episode is actually going to air. But I happen to have one final pumpkin beer in my fridge that I decided to pop out tonight. This is the Warlock Imperial Pumpkin Stout. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
From Southern Tier Brewing, if you've never had it. Their Pumpkin, I think, is probably a little bit better known. Their Pumpkin Ale, but their Imperial Pumpkin Ale, but the Warlock has always been my go-to. So, or not always, but since it came out. All right. Without further ado, like I said, we have some tough decisions up ahead. And let's jump right into it. Our first matchup of the night is going to be the number one seed, We Didn't Start the Fire, which took out Captain Jack in the first round. It's going up against the number eight seed, She's Always a Woman, which beat Say Goodbye to Hollywood. We're going to be starting this one off with Kelly. What you think about this one?
This one was pretty much an insta-get for me. I don't care much for She's Always a Woman. And so it was just instantaneously, We Didn't Start the Fire. Through and through.
And a very quick first vote for We Didn't Start the Fire. Let's find out if Brian feels the same way.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to say about this one. She's Always a Woman. It's a good song. But in comparison to We Didn't Start the Fire, it's a no-brainer. This is an easy... There's no competition on this. We Didn't Start the Fire is definitely the better choice here. Sorry, John, going to steal the There's no drama on this one.
Indeed, there is not a lot of drama on this one. We Didn't Start the Fire has picked up its second vote, and we'll be moving into the Elite Eight. John, how do you feel about this? Did we get it right?
Listen, She's Always a Woman is a fantastic song. It's not an okay song. It's not a good song. It's a fantastic song. I've already waxed nostalgic about what that song meant to me when in connection with my wife. But yeah, we got it right. We Didn't Start the Fire is definitely the better song here. It's the more singable one. It's the fun one. It's the one I want to get up and dance to.
And John couldn't throw shadows at She's Always a Woman, but nonetheless, it is not moving on as We Didn't Start the Fire has easily dispatched it, picking up the sweep. We'll be moving into the Elite Eight to face off against one of these two songs. Is it going to be the number 12 seed, Piano Man? Perhaps a surprisingly low seed, but picked up the easy upset in the first round, sweeping out You May Be Right. Or the number 4 seed of I Go to Extremes. Brian, what say you on this one?
I was afraid you were going to make me go first on this one. These are two of my favorite Billy Joel songs. I mean, everything that is in the... that is in the Sweet 16. These are all some of my favorite Billy Joel music, and whatever ends up in the bracket here, I'm not going to be probably very unhappy with the choices. But these are actually two of my favorites. I Go to Extremes speaks to me on a personal level. Piano Man. Oh man, have I had some loud drunken nights swaying back and forth in a bar, singing the chorus at the top of our lungs. They are very different loves for me on these two songs. I gotta stay with it though. I love I Go to Extremes, but I'm gonna go with Piano Man.
Ooh, and difficult, but ultimately decided vote for Piano Man, as we're going to head over to John.
So in this instance, extremes is the correct term. You have basically his first number one hit from the early 70s to one of his later singles from the mid 80s up and, you know, kind of right before he kind of stopped just putting out new music. So you have kind of bookended hits here. And they couldn't sound more different and yet the same because it's Billy Joel. And so it's a little hard to compare. I don't need to add too much more to what Brian said about the songs, other than I'm sure they don't mean the same to me as they meant to him. Because if they did, that'd be weird. But when it comes down to it, I really, really am sick of fucking singing Piano Man. And I really like his 80s stuff. I really did. So it's going to be I Go to Extremes for me.
Okay, and we have a game on our hands as I Go to Extremes pulls even with Piano Man. And is it possible that Piano Man, which the song that essentially lent Billy Joel his nickname, will not go to the Elite Eight? We have a tie ball game, and given that we have only a 3-person panel in Boozy Bracketology Land, that means that I have the opportunity to lodge what we call a buzzer beater. And I kind of want to just wish Kelly good luck on this one. This is a really tough decision. The thing is I don't really think about these too much beforehand because, again, I don't generally have to make these decisions. I absolutely see where John is coming from with Piano Man, but at the same time, it really is an iconic song. But I really do love I Go to Extremes too. It's fantastic. And I think that, to be honest, I think if I did have a vote where I believe I would vote for I Go to Extremes because, and primarily I think it'd be because I kind of think that the Elite Eight matchup between that and We Didn't Start the Fire is just a little bit more interesting. But that's primarily where my head's at there. Kelly, I want to hear what you have to think though.
I like the idea of the bookends that John brought up with a you know, kind of an early hit, a later hit. You can kind of see his growth from one to the next. But also they're a little different, kind of drastically so, I would say, in terms of content. But this is also kind of an easy choice for me. It's the bar anthem of Piano Man.
And Piano Man does pick up its second vote, and we'll be moving into the Elite Eight, which my buzzer beater, such as it is, notwithstanding, is probably the right choice. I mean, I understand where John's coming from, as I mentioned. But yeah, Piano Man will be moving into the Elite Eight, but I Go to Extremes definitely put up a little bit of a fight there. We're going to move on to the bottom half of the left side of the bracket with two more songs that is going to be really interesting to choose from. We have the number 11 seed of Pressure that pulled off a minor upset over A Matter of Trust in rather easy fashion in the first round. And Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, that opus that managed to knock out one of my favorite Billy Joel songs, My Life, in the first round with a narrow 2-1 victory. And we're going to start this one off with John. What say you?
I think out of all the ones here in the Sweet 16, this one is the hardest for me. I adore both of these songs. They've been favorites of mine since I was a teenager. And it's going to be really hard for me to have to pick one, but I already know where I'm going. And it really shouldn't be a surprise, because I've already said which one of these is my absolute favorite Billy Joel songs of all time. I think I kind of, you know, metaphorically blew my load on the first round because I was afraid it was not going to make its way out. And I wanted to make sure that I had my say. So I won't need to add too many to this going on. But for me, it's going to be Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
Did not expect a whole lot of suspense there after, as John alluded to, the first round. But nonetheless, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant picks up its first vote. Let's check in with Kelly next to find out what she has to say.
Yeah, so this, I mean, I agree with John. This is a tough decision to make. Pressure is really good. It's got that driving kind of anxiety underneath it that you really feel the almost insurmountable pressure that comes from being famous. But I read an article recently from the American Songwriter by a writer named Jason Scott about Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. And he describes Billy Joel in a way that I thought was very interesting. He said, throughout his legacy career, he has been the kind of storyteller to depict even the mundane experiences with full flavored details. And Billy Joel has talked a lot about Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. And he says it's kind of like a meal where you have like an appetizer where you're sitting down with someone you haven't seen in a while, which is something that happens to all of us, you know, frequently. It can be kind of mundane. You're catching up, there's small talk. But then you've got the entree of the song with the Ballad of Brenda and Eddie. And there's something so beautiful about that to me, that you have these people that are sitting down over a meal and discussing the ups and downs of some of their friends. Or maybe even it's themselves. Maybe it's Brenda and Eddie catching up after so many years. And that story has just always gotten to me. And so it's also, sorry, Brian, to take away the thunder, but it's also going to be Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
And Scenes from an Italian Restaurant is going to pick up its second vote. We'll be moving into the Elite Eight, but I do want to hear from Brian. Did we get this one right?
Again, none of these are, I don't think any of these are going to be really necessarily wrong. I have my opinions, but as the man said, you have to learn to pace yourself. I do like both of these songs. I definitely like one of them better than the other. It's not going to be a sweep. My vote does go to Pressure.
And Pressure not going down without a fight, courtesy of Brian Nash, but nonetheless will be moving. Scenes from Italian Restaurant will be moving on into the Elite Eight. But Brian does make a very good point. it's very hard to truly look upon any of these as a wrong decision with the slate of songs that we have, because they're all fantastic songs. And that includes these next two, which is going to be these are both off the same album, if I'm not mistaken. So these are both off the Innocent Man album, I believe. So this will be a really interesting matchup. We've got the number 7 seed of The Longest Time taking on the number 2 seed of Uptown Girl. Neither one of these songs had too much of a challenge in the first round. Both swept their way here, but I have a feeling this one might be a little tougher. We're going to start off with Kelly.
So these are the two Billy Joel songs for me that are partner songs. It's not quite the same, like, for the rest of everyone, like with Queens, We Are the Champions, and the other one. where they're always played together. But in my head, Uptown Girl and The Longest Time go together. They are a paired set, so to speak, which makes it really hard for me to choose. So I had to get a little thematic here and go with the one that, for me, brings out a feeling of growth or a sense of change. And I remember being that kind of white bread girl that was introduced to whole new worlds by what could arguably be considered a downtown man. And so my vote for this one is going to have to be Uptown Girl.
Uptown Girl picks up its first vote. Let's see, we got Brian next. Brian, what do you say on this one?
Oh, yeah, these are... you were searching for We Will Rock You, by the way, Kelly.
Yes, thank you.
which, oh, by the way, did not make it out of the first round of our Queen bracket.
I know. I was not happy about that.
I struggled with that.
That's a conversation for another day.
Indeed.
So looking at the bracket and seeing that these two were up against each other, I'm like, oh, it's the two doo-wop songs. And I thought about it for a little bit. It's like, well, no, Uptown Girl, I guess, is technically kind of not necessarily a doo-wop song, but it kind of feels to me like a doo-wop song. They have a definite similar vibe. And yeah, same album. So, I mean, these are two very good songs, and a lot of people love to sing along with these songs. I think really what comes down to it for me is if I'm DJing and I put one of these on, one of these, the room immediately perks up and starts singing along. The other one, it's just kind of okay. It's a good song. It's a good classic. And it's whoa, 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 the longest for the longest time. And the whole room immediately is in on it. So I'm going to punt this one over to John, and I'm going to go The Longest Time.
Okay. And The Longest Time pulls even with Uptown Girl. I knew this was going to be a tough one. And it's a tough one for me too. I don't have a strong pull one way or the other. I was thinking about The Longest Time, particularly earlier this week, and just thinking about lyrically how it's a more nuanced song sometimes than I think it gets credit for, because he's very fatalistic in the lyrics. Like, he very much, even though he seems super happy, he's also like, this is never going to last. And I've always found that to be an interesting thing about that song that never really clicked to me until I was thinking about it just recently. In anticipation of this bracket, I think if it were me, I'd give my vote to The Longest Time, just because it was so different. I mean, these songs were really different when they hit the radio, but The Longest Time was just, that one sticks out much more to me, as I remember hearing that and thinking, wow, this is something really different and unique and interesting. I don't think you make a wrong decision here, John, but that's probably where I would go. But I want to know where you will go.
So, Brian, I would actually say that Uptown Girl is a doo-wop song. I would say they're just on kind of opposite ends of the doo-wop spectrum. They are both very vocal driven. I would kind of equate Uptown Girl to almost kind of like a Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons sound, just without the falsetto. You know, he does his best falsetto there, but you can't match Frankie Valli. Let's just be honest. And to me, they're actually both kind of equal. They both give me the same vibes. I feel like I'm a greaser sitting in front of my 57 Chevy drinking some crappy beer, you know, whatever. So in the end, I gotta find a way to differentiate them somehow in order to pick a winner. I was kind of hoping, I wasn't paying attention to the order we were going to be in. I was hoping for this one, I could just do what you did and punt it to the last person and not have to make the decision. But here we are. So it's unfortunately for one of you, it's going to come down to my childhood. And one of these songs we had on a 45. And before we started buying CDs and stuff like that, my mom had a whole bunch of 45s that she used when she was a jazzercise instructor, calling out some 80s stuff here. And the one that she had that we would play a lot was Uptown Girl. And that's the one that's going to get my vote.
And the number two seed of Uptown Girl does avoid the upset and will be moving into the Elite Eight. As I said, can't really make a wrong decision with any of these songs. Those two were of a piece, so can't fault anybody for that choice. And they're not going to get any easier as we move over to the other side of the bracket. But first, we're going to pause for a quick word from our sponsor.
Coming this February to the PTE Network, a podcast unlike any other, except for maybe two or three. A podcast hosted by a Chicagoland trivia veteran.
Is it Jay Borzum?
No, not her.
Is it Brittany Shaw?
No, it's not her either.
Is it Jeremy Goodson?
Just shut up and let me do my job.
Okay.
Where was I? Oh, right, promo. It's the newest podcast on the PTE Network. We play fantasy sports just without the sports. It features drinking, pointless arguments, and needlessly confusing homophones. Welcome to Draft Days. I'm your host, Jeffy Donuts. Listen along as my guests and I draft fantasy teams of just about anything, and then use made-up rules to see which of us will take home the trophy and which of us is just hot dookie. Join us every Wednesday for another episode of Draft Days. That's DRAUGHTDAZE. It's a beer pun.
Listen to my dad's podcast.
Thank you, Lucas. That was very sweet.
All right. And we are on the right side of our bracket now. And we've got another really interesting matchup on our hands. It is the 16 seed of Goodnight Saigon, which narrowly defeated Tell Her About It to become yet another Boozy Bracketology patented 16 seed upset in a music related bracket. I think we've had one of those in just about every music related bracket that we've done. 16 seed of Goodnight Saigon, and it's going to be taking on Moving Out, Anthony's song, which narrowly defeated Allentown in the first round. It's another interesting matchup, and I have forgotten who we are on. We're on Brian to start, I believe. So, Brian, what's it going to be here?
Dude, this is not easy.
If it was easy, anybody could do it.
Yeah. That's it. I'm moving out. No, wait.
I don't want to give you a heart attack. Ack, 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 ack.
Oh, that's right. I made the
yep.
Mars Attacks joke earlier.
That's right.
Man, I didn't know what the order was going to be, so I had no idea which ones were going to be. I was going to have to go first with, but all right. Goodnight Saigon. I was Army. I wasn't Marines, but man, that one speaks to me. My dad's a Vietnam vet, and there's a lot of very powerful emotions that go behind that song. Moving Out. It's one of those classics that I just don't get tired of. Wait a minute. We've had an episode where we haven't done it yet. I got to do it just to piss off Jeff and say, it's iconic.
There it is.
Yeah, I was kind of, when I first figured out that I was going to be doing this, I was leaning one way, but I think now that I've talked myself into the other, I'm going to give my vote to our Cinderella, and I'm going Goodnight Saigon.
Woo. And the 16 seed Goodnight Saigon still got a little engine in the tank as it picks up its first vote. Let's see what John has to say.
Goodnight Saigon is one of those songs that I didn't understand until later in life, when I could really understand, you know, when I had friends who went through the military and I got to know people who went through similar things. I used to work for a guy who was a Marine in Vietnam, and he would tell me stories, and really going back and listening to the song really made me understand kind of things that he went through. But I love Moving Out. It's a fantastic song, and it's always been one of my more favorite ones. So I'm going to give it to history here, and Moving Out gets my vote.
And Moving Out, parentheses, Anthony's song, does pull even with Goodnight Saigon. We've got yet another tie on our hands.
Your turn, Kelly.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't have good guidance to give Kelly on this one. I mean, I would put on either one of these songs. Sometimes it would depend on what mood I was in. I don't even know. And you know what? I don't even have to make this decision. I don't have a good buzzer beater. I'm just going to hand it off to you, and I want to see how the cards fall. Kelly, tell us what it's going to be, Goodnight Saigon or Moving Out.
So thematically, I love that these two songs are up against one another because they're both super critical of the man in a way. Mm. Not quite to the level of protest song that like Fortunate Son and the stuff that came out during Vietnam. But I mean, talks about how you've got, obviously we've gone through some of the lyrics already for Goodnight Saigon. But you've got basically working yourself to death and moving out. Like if that's what moving up is, moving up the corporate ladder, then I'm out. And so I love that these two songs have gone head to head. And it's so hard. But there's something that just goes a level deeper for me with Goodnight Saigon. And so that's what's going to get my vote.
Ooh, wasn't sure which way that was going at the start, but man, Goodnight Saigon is continuing its Cinderella run as it edges out, moving out and gets into the Sweet 16. We say goodbye to Anthony and his song, and we move on into the next matchup. It's going to be the number 5 seed of You're Only Human, parentheses Second Wind, going up against the number 13 seed New York State of Mind, which knocked off River of Dreams in the first round. And John's going to be starting this one off. Which of these two is it going to be?
So out of all the songs that are in the Sweet 16, these two are probably my least favorite.
Mm.
Out of all the Sweet, just the Sweet 16. And it kind of, I don't want it to sound mean to say that I'm kind of apathetic as to who wins, but I'm kind of apathetic as to which one of these wins. I like both songs. I don't turn them off when they come on. I don't particularly have a great tie to either of these songs. So if I'm going between kind of a upbeat shuffle swing type song versus a really great ballad, I'm probably going to go with the one that makes me feel good, and that's probably going to be the upbeat song. So Only Human will get my vote.
All right. Your Only Human, Second Wind, picks up its first vote. Let's check in with Kelly.
I think it's fascinating that you think You're Only Human is upbeat and makes you feel good, because the part that I feel out of that whole piece, the very first line, you're having a hard time and lately you don't feel so good. Like the whole song is about being depressed and then making it through, which can make you feel good. But to me, it's like, oh, right. Reminder, depression's there always. And you're always waiting for that second wind. Whereas to me, New York State of Mind is the song that makes me feel good. It's a little slower, but it feels, I mean, it's like he's describing home and he's in this mindset of coming somewhere that feels safe and comfortable. And so for me, it's New York State of Mind for the same reason that John picked Second Wind.
And New York State of Mind pulls even with Your Only Human, leaving this one in Brian's hands, but I get a chance to say something first. And what I'm going to say might be, it's Boozy Bracketology. Our wrongness is part of our charm, as we say. So my Sweet 16 matchup would have actually been Only the Good Die Young versus River of Dreams. I wouldn't have had either of these songs there. It's not that I don't like those songs, but honestly, Only the Good Die Young is a top five Billy Joel song for me. It's one of my favorites. So for that reason, I think I would vote for New York State of Mind just out of bitterness that Only the Good Die Young got knocked off by Your Only Human. But I think that either way, you can't go wrong, because again, even though this wouldn't have been my Sweet 16, these are two great songs. So take it away. Let us know which one's moving on.
All right. I love music. I think that's probably been established by now, but I love when music hits me in the feels, and both of these songs have that capability. New York State of Mind. We went to New York for the first time. All of us, we went on vacation earlier this year. And it was a wonderful time, really enjoyed it. And that song makes a lot more sense now. You're Only Human. I mean, he's talking a kid down off a ledge, basically. And that, I mean, it is definitely an upbeat song, but it's got a pretty serious message to it. And I know, well, actually, no, this is not going to be an upset. I thought New York State of Mind was higher, but it's not. I'm going to go ahead and make my choice for the one that really hit me harder earlier in my own life. I'm going to vote on You're Only Human.
And You're Only Human does pick up the second vote, and we'll be moving into the Elite Eight, and I believe that makes me over on my my buzzer beaters so far, but that's okay. Again, this is why I'm the host. I like watching the cards fall where they may. And again, honestly, these are all such great songs. I really don't think there's a whole lot of wrong choices you can make here, except possibly in this next matchup. But we'll see where this one falls, and if I have to lodge another buzzer beater. But not that these aren't both great songs, but it's going to be the 6th seed of An Innocent Man going up against the 14th seed of The Stranger. We had a lot of high seed upsets in this side of the bracket. An Innocent Man versus The Stranger. And we are going to be starting this one off with Kelly.
This one's tough. They both have kind of that... They're about relationships, right? And what you bring to them. On one side, you know, don't hold a future partner, you know, don't hold the actions of a past partner against your future partner. But something about The Stranger is so ubiquitous. It's all of us and the masks that we wear every day. In all of our relationships, not just our romantic partnerships. And so for me, this one's going to be The Stranger.
And The Stranger picks up its first vote. Brian, what are your thoughts here?
Oh, man. these are pretty evenly matched for me. Innocent Man. Yeah, Kelly said it very well. Don't let your past relationships, don't hold them against the new person in your life. The Stranger. Oh, go! I did not know how to pick this one, so I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants here. Okay, I really like both of these songs, and I'm having a hard time picking. So, Fuck it. John, you get to decide.
And the classic Boozy Bracketology punt occurs as Brian casts a vote for an innocent man. And unfortunately, an innocent man in John Spies is the one that's going to be the bear the brunt of that punt, as it were. Oh, man. So I alluded to the fact that I think there is an absolutely a right choice here. And as much as I think An Innocent Man is a great song, The Stranger is both to me the better song. It's the one that hits harder. It's the one that's got a better, it's got that more, it's even though it's dealing with, you know, heavier topics, it's a little bit more bouncy. It's a little bit more fun. And, it makes me, for me personally, it makes me think of a friend of mine from college who's actually the one who introduced me to it, who unfortunately died very young of breast cancer. So, and her name was Ann Carpe. We were really good friends early on in college, kind of lost touch later on. And but she was a huge Billy Joel fan. It was her all-time favorite Billy Joel song. She introduced it to me, and it has since become one of my all-time favorites. So, John, my vote would definitely be for The Stranger, but it is all on your shoulders. Cast the vote as you need to.
Well, luckily for y'all, I do have a clear winner. And it won't be that difficult of a choice. And Mike, your streak, man, is over. Because The Stranger is definitely going to get my vote.
I like the way you built that suspense on that one, John. Okay, well done. Good choice, everybody. Good choice. The Stranger, the 14 seed, will be moving into the Elite Eight. And actually, it was guaranteed regardless that You're Only Human, will, as the 5 seed, will be the highest seed on this side of the bracket, inching into the Elite Eight, because these next two is between a 10 seed and a 15 seed. This is our final matchup of the night. It's going to be between the 10 seed of Keeping the Faith and the 15 seed, another Cinderella story, the Downeaster Alexa. Brian, you're starting this one off. Which one's it going to be?
I did the math and went through everything and realized that this was the one I was going to get to lead off this last one. And this is of the elite, of the Sweet 16, this is my hardest matchup. These are two of his later songs, and I fucking love both of these. Keeping the Faith, just the stuff that they went through as young punk idiots. And I made those mistakes. I mean, I relate to that song so well. But then on the other hand, you've got the Downeaster Alexa. We talked about it last time that, Billy Joel, writes about the working man and does it very well. I think his first one was Allentown. I don't know if chronologically if that's correct, but, Allentown was,
sorry.
Allentown was a great song. But for the telling the story of a struggling community built around a single industry, I always thought Downeaster Alexa did it a little bit better. I was saving this. I didn't get into it last time because Downeaster Alexa swept, and I didn't have to share this. When my son was a baby, when he was an infant, and I would sing him to sleep, I would sing him the Downeaster Alexa. And I could sing it really low. I could actually bring it down an octave and sing it really low and really quiet. And it's a song that just has always had a very special place for me because of that. And it just, I can't not vote for the Downeaster Alexa.
The Downeaster Alexa picks up a very heartfelt first vote as we hand it off to John.
So there isn't too much that I don't think I could add to either of these songs that Brian said regarding the kind of the content of the songs and what they mean. So I'm going to look at the musical aspects of it. Keeping the faith is, I was trying to think of a word to describe it, and I would go with jaunty. It's jaunty. Ooh, it's upbeat. You know,
I like it.
It makes it just kind of makes you want to sway a little bit with it. Man, he's got a really good, for a piano player, and I don't know if he came up with this, but he's just got a really cool jaunty guitar part that really sells that song. On the other end of the spectrum, you have this kind of heavy-handed ballad style in Downeaster Alexa, which is, it's almost, it's not, it's ballad, but it's not. And both of them are really fun to listen to, for despite the serious, you know, subject matter of it. But in the end, if I have to pick one that means more to me, sorry, Kelly, it's the Downeaster Alexa, so I'm going to take this one out of your hands.
And the Downeaster Alexa picks up its second vote, and we'll be moving on, and spares me having to attempt to do a buzzer beater, but that's completely fine anyway, because I'm still riding the high out of the last one. Kelly, what are your thoughts? Did we get this one right? Is this going to be a sweep?
Yes, absolutely. Unquestionable. Keeping the Faith is lovely. When it comes on, I never skip it, but some songs you get in that feeling and you have to seek out a specific song to sit in that feeling. And the line, "There ain't no island left for islanders like me," hits me in like the November, December timeframe when it's overcast and kind of cold and a little drizzly. And it just, that's the time of year that we're in right now, and it hits you square in the chest every time. And so it would absolutely be a sweep of Downeaster Alexa.
And it absolutely will be a sweep as the Downeaster Alexa continues. We've got a few Cinderella stories in this bracket, particularly on this side of the bracket, and sweeps its way into the Elite Eight. And that'll do it for this episode of Boozy Bracketology. To recap, in the Elite Eight, we're going to have the number one seed of We Didn't Start the Fire taking on the number 12 seed of Piano Man. And of the matchups that we have, that might be one of the more predictable ones as far as even casual Billy Joel fans are concerned. Moving on from there, we're going to have the number 14 seed of Scenes from an Italian Restaurant taking on the number 2 seed of Uptown Girl. On the other side of the bracket, we're going to have the 16 seed of Goodnight Saigon taking on You're Only Human, Second Wind. And on the bottom half of that bracket, we're going to have the 14th seed of The Stranger taking on the 15th seed of the Downeaster Alexa, which, as you just heard, won in a sweep. And that is going to do it for this episode of Boozy Bracketology. Be sure to tune in next week as we will crown the champion. That is one of the three things we believe in here, and it will be happening. Check the show notes for all of the information there. Until next time for the Boozy Bracketology podcast, I have been Mike.
I've been Brian.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm John.
We will see you next time. Have a good one.